place. So Tom, would you like to come up and welcome the students to the program? Thanks so much.
This is it? Good morning. Let's see how this is going to work. All right, we made it. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tom Siebel, and I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to talk with you. We're in the midst of we're entering, you know, year five of a startup with some very significant social, economic, and environmental implications called C3 Energy. And this is about essentially what we're doing is we're building an operating system for the smart grid. And I want to talk about that case study as you think about what you're doing. Now, I don't know if history repeats itself or not, but it certainly seems to rhyme. And I've been involved in this, in building and forming a number of Silicon Valley companies. This will have been my fourth. And I'm going to talk about that process a little bit, just in case there's something to be learned from that, either from something that we did right or for the many things that we could have done better. This all got its start at the University of Illinois. I was interested in information technology, so I went to the graduate school there, engineering, and studied relational database theory. Out of Oracle, or out of the University of Illinois, I was hired into Oracle. Oracle at the time had 40 people, about a $7 million business. Relational database technology was this big, and we thought the economic implications of relational database technology might be significant. So I just went to Oracle and got a job. Okay, and over, you know, the period of the next, I guess, 6, 7, 8 years, I just kind of worked my way up from technical support manager to a salesperson to director of strategic accounts, vice president of product line marketing, vice president of direct marketing, and ultimately ran most of sales and all of marketing. And so I was one of the people that ran the business when we were doing about $1 billion. This was an enormous learning experience. I mean, we grew the business at, you know, 100% a year for, I think, 11 years. And it was an opportunity to see how things are done well. And it was an opportunity to see how I would never want to do things again. From Oracle, I went to a company, I became the CEO of a company called Gain Technology in 1990. And Gain, believe it or not, this was the first company that enabled multi-user applications that on a network that involved sound, motion, video, graphics, text, and hypertext. Turned out to be a pretty big idea, right? But we broke some ground there. And this company, we sold this company to Sybase in 1992. For 10% of the outstanding shares of Sybase. Then with 1993, we started this company, Siebel. And Siebel was about the application. As of 1993, information technology and communication technology had not been applied. It had been applied to manufacturing. It had been applied to HR. It had been applied to office automation. But the processes of sales marketing, business processes of sales marketing, customer service remained largely untouched by information technology. And so the thesis was, if we could build a platform that would allow organizations to, the hypothesis was that if we could build a platform that would allow organizations to apply information and communication technology to the problems of sales, marketing, and customer service, that there might be a business there. Siebel Systems, we started in 1993. In 1999, we were doing in excess of $2 billion in revenue. We had 8,000 employees in 29 countries, and I believe as of today, I think it's still the fastest growing software company in history. Okay, this was quarter to quarter a cash positive, profitable business. I think even in the market downturn from 2001 to 2003, we threw off like $2 billion in free cash flow. This was just a staggering professional experience to be part of it. But to give you a feel, so in the area of sales, marketing, and customer service, our goal, and you'll want to think about this in whatever you're doing, whether it's social, whether it's or whether it's philanthropic, or whether it's you know, an economic motivation for what you're doing. Market share is everything in the software business. Okay, and at Siebel, this was our market share. Okay, we were in the business of Salesforce automation, call center, marketing analytics, partner relationship management, field service, And in every market that we're in, we're larger than the sum of everybody else in the world combined. Not only in the market segment, but in the vertical. You know, whether it's consumer goods, energy, life sciences, manufacturing, banking, automotive, chemical, we're larger than the sum of everybody else in the world combined. So that's helpful if you want to generate cash. Okay, these markets swing, right? Right now we're in a big boom market, okay? These boom to bust, the cycles seem to be faster than they used to be. They used to be about every 15 years, now they seem like they're about every 3 to 5. Okay, and right now we're kind of, it's getting a little frothy. When these things turn, it's the company that has market share that can continue to generate cash. The other companies are out of business. Talk about C3 Energy. C3 is enterprise number 4. And this is about the application of information technology and the communication technology to the problems associated with energy and climate and the environment. Pretty interesting problem, big problem. And if you look at many of you are social entrepreneurs, okay, and you're thinking about you know, philanthropic efforts. Well, if you think about, you know, if you ask pretty much anybody, you know, what are the top 3 problems, you know, facing the planet, you know, say 5, energy is going to be somewhere on the list. Either this, you know, the environmental implications, the climate implications, security implications. So how did we go about planning this exercise? I merged Siebel Systems with Oracle in January of 2000. So this I want to talk about how much, I want you to give you a feel for how methodical these things can be. Sometimes you get together with 3 other people in a garage and you just start it. And sometimes you think these things through very carefully. Why would you want to think it through very carefully? To minimize risk, okay? It's more fun to do these if you succeed. Okay, and so we sold Siebel Systems, merged with Oracle Corporation in January of 2006. In 2007 and 2008, we started studying the issue of climate, issues related to climate, water, energy. We sponsored conferences at the University of California, Berkeley, at MIT, and at Northwestern on these subjects. We had people from Princeton involved, Stanford, MIT, Illinois, everybody you can think of was involved in these conferences. And just to become familiar with the turf and with the domain. And then in January of 2008, we invited a number of colleagues from the information technology industry out here to Woodside, California, to discuss, where does this all come together? Climate, energy, information technology, communication technology, where's the opportunity? And some of the people we gathered would include a guy named Steve Ward. Steve was our former customer at IBM, where at Siebel we had 100,000 user system there. He was the CIO at IBM and then went to be the CEO at Lenovo. We had Sean Coyne involved, who was the CIO at GE Power. We had the energy team from McKinsey and Company. A guy named Ed Abbo came over, who at the time was running all application software at Oracle. We had people from SAP. We had people from Europe. We had people from the Middle East. We had people from Asia. And we met in the spring, summer, and fall of 2008 just to talk about that. There's no company, okay? There was no stock. There was just people thinking about the idea. And, you know, we talked about, you know, gee, what does this look like? And, you know, where are the areas where we might be able to make a contribution? We looked at, you know, what do technology platforms of the future look like? How do strategic alliances work in the future? What are the revenue and financial models of companies look like in the next decade? Corporate infrastructure, human capital models, and product models. And in the fall, so this group met as a team in the spring, summer, and fall, and they broke up into work groups to think about these things. They came together in December of 2008 and wanted to start a company called C3 Energy. And the idea was to build a SaaS, big data aggregation analytics platform that would allow organizations now at grid scale, you know, not only organizations, but look at the entire grid to kind of optimize energy usage across the grid. And the company was founded in January of 2009. In December of 2008, I sent out an email on Friday. We raised $20 million by Sunday, and there was no discussion of what the business terms were. Okay, so then we did a lot of work. You're thinking, gee, what's the structure? Who are the right people? What's the ecosystem look like? Who are the customer partners? Who do we talk about bringing on the board, the management team? And we went out and started the company, interviewed with hundreds of companies to find out what they were thinking, what are the issues, what's carbon about, what's carbon disclosure about, what's energy, what's the drivers, what do you want to accomplish? And this is kind of the network infrastructure that we'll put together the next year. This was kind of this huge social network of power, of intellect and connections from like 30 years of like working together in the marketplace that we were able to tap into, from Accenture and Deloitte and McKinsey and Goldman Sachs and what have you, to bring the brightest minds, and MIT and Stanford, to bring the brightest minds really on the planet to bear on this problem. And so this is the idea. And the idea is about delivering a set of smart grid solutions that enable utilities to realize kind of the full promise of their investment in the smart grid. Well, why is that interesting? So this grid, this is the machine built, primarily out of, say, 19th and 20th century technology, primarily lead, acid, and copper, that's associated with the generation and delivery of power. And it's a value chain that goes from generation to distribution to transmission to transformation to a meter and then to some kind of a consumer, residential, small, medium business, large enterprise, or government. Okay, this infrastructure delivers 22 billion gigawatts of electricity worldwide every year. Okay, and the inefficiency associated with it is staggering. Okay, the way that it works is, when the lights go out in New York, lights go out in San Francisco, somebody calls and said the lights are out, they dispatch trucks with guys with voltmeters that go around and test boxes and climb poles and go down manholes to decide which boxes are not conducting electricity, and you keep replacing boxes until the lights go back on. That's how the system works. Okay, now there's this idea that you've heard of called the smart grid. Okay, and the smart grid is about replacing these devices or enhancing these devices to make them machine addressable. Okay, and there's enormous utility associated with making these devices machine addressable. If they're machine addressable, you can remotely sense their state. So you know whether the lights are on or off or if somebody calls you to tell you they failed. You can also analyze the signal over time and predict device failure and go out and schedule that the device is going to be replaced rather than have to do it as an emergency in a Hurricane Sandy kind of situation. You can dynamically reconfigure the system. You can balance load. And the economics associated with doing these things are staggering. For example, if you balance voltage across this network, okay, the result is 7% less power is generated. 7% less power. I mean, get your mind around that. Okay, I mean, this is a staggering number when you compare to what people are talking about from renewables. Renewables, I would suggest to you, are a fraction of that opportunity. And so we then assembled, the game, in the computer software business, okay, you are not playing a technology game. You are playing a human capital game. Okay, let me help you out here. Fundamentally, it's your team against their team. Okay, and if you show up, okay, with the front line of like the New York Patriots or the San Francisco 49ers, and you're playing against some sandlot team, I guarantee it, you are going to win. Okay? And it doesn't matter whether the idea is good. It doesn't matter whether you have the right technology to begin with. You're going to win because you're going to have the people who are going to figure it out. So who you associate with is everything in this business, in my opinion. And so we went out and, I went out and solicited a board of directors. And so on our board, we thought, Condi Rice, we asked Condi Rice to join us, which he kindly did. Rick Levin, the president of Yale. Spence Abraham, former secretary of energy. Who was it? Shankar Sastry from UC Berkeley. Mayo Shattuck, who's the chairman of Exelon, a large Midwestern utility, East Coast utility. And very distinguished board. Very distinguished management team. Ed Abbo, had 8,000 employees at Oracle when he ran all the applications there. Pat House is kind of a legend in the information technology business as a marketing mind. Kathy Zoy, our strategy officer, she was assistant secretary of energy in the Obama administration. Jim Conaton, was executive vice president at Constellation Energy. Before that, he ran all energy policy in the White House. Very experienced team of people. And so what we've done is we've now invested 4 years and about $100 million in a joint development project with General Electric, Constellation, and PG&E to build a family of grid analytics. So this sits on top. So there's the grid. Below the grid are you can see all the operating systems that run this thing that are kind of silos that don't communicate with one another. And then over on top of this, we're laying a family of analytic applications that basically allow these people to operate and optimize the grid, smart grid. Now, the investment in this smart grid upgrade, okay? That's just the upgrade of these of this technology to make that machine addressable this decade worldwide is $2 trillion. Okay? So get your mind around this. This is the largest machine ever built. Okay? When we were looking at the internet and the emergence of the internet, Daniel and I and others in, say, 1993, 1994, 1995, this is when Mark is spinning out of the University of Illinois in this time frame. Believe me, nobody was thinking about spending $2 trillion on the internet. Okay, so this is an opportunity on that scale, and what we're proposing to do is we're building the operating system for this. Now, we brought in a team from McKinsey & Company to do kind of the economics of these. So the applications that we're building along the top row, everything from AMI, advanced metering infrastructure, managing the meters, energy efficiency programs, Volt VAR, which is about balancing voltage across the grid. We couldn't figure out how to price it. Right? We had no idea how to price it. So we brought in McKinsey & Company, the energy team from McKinsey & Company, to do a deep dive to determine what is the economic value of each of these applications to the utility. So this will give you a feel for the economic value to a utility, about a PG&E size utility that might have 5 million meters. Okay, it should be about $1.8 billion a year. $1.8 billion a year in recurring economic value. So this is, if we get into, you know, AMI, which is, you know, which is basically an analytic that allows them to efficiently manage their smart meters that are out there, and they have 4.5 million smart meters out there. This has to do with things like revenue protection, outage prediction. Okay, it's $260 million in economic value annually. When we talk to Exelon about this application for them, it's $478 million a year. I mean, if you could have a conversation with a customer about $500 million in economic value annually, believe me, reasonable people could talk. And so this is what we're addressing. So we have five of these applications in the marketplace today. We'll deliver another five in 2013 and five more in 2014 as we complete this product set. These are our customers. This market, smart grid analytics, it's about $1.5 billion software market, 2013, growing at a 24% compound annual growth rate. It's a $5 billion market in 2017. Our objective is to establish and maintain a market leadership in that marketplace, which implies 50%. Okay, usually, you know, outside of the operating system market, the leader's going to have 50%. These are where we're deploying these systems today. Give you a feel at PG&E, where we have 1, 2, 3, 4 of these applications installed. There we aggregated 28 billion rows of data out of 19 legacy systems that have never spoken to one another, that were designed to never communicate. Okay, we load this information. These are, like, you know, interval data from meters, customer data, energy efficiency measures, carbon disclosure calculations, what have you. 28 billion rows of data. We load it at the rate of 500 million records an hour into a cloud infrastructure. It's 7 terabytes of information in the cloud that we use to run these applications. So very large scale. This is about big data aggregation. It's about analytics, and it's about the customer interaction model. We're doing some very, very interesting work on the human-computer interaction side, that we're working on. But, you know, these are the three areas. So again, data aggregation, deep analytics on these. And when we get into grid scale, we're dealing with petabyte-sized data sets. Okay, heavy analytics, And then we just need to understand, now we're trying to understand kind of the next generation in the human-computer interaction model. If you look at the human-computer interaction model of, you know, kind of enterprise application software today, it's stuck at about 2005. Well, 2005 is a generation ago. I'll give you a feel for some of the things we're doing, some of the portals that we're doing for for the enterprise. These are for small and medium business management. This is for residential applications. And this is what the stack looks like. The economic benefit associated with what we're doing, this would be, according to McKinsey Company, the economic benefit globally is on the order of $300 billion a year. What are some of the implications of these applications? Well, about a 58% reduction in greenhouse gas from power. I mean, is that important? It's hugely important. Okay. How about, you know, grid infrastructure security? That's hugely important. How about power reliability? The cost of power interruption in the U.S. alone annually is $120 billion a year in economic cost. So the implications are big. And what we're looking at here is an opportunity to build a great company. It's an opportunity to do something important. It's an opportunity to make a very significant contribution to an important dialogue, and that's what we hope to do. And so as you go back to where you came from and you have friends who are looking to do something like this, have them send me their resume. Thank you all very much.